Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's still not too late for Jesus Christ to attend this year's Super Bowl parade. Welcome to a back-to-back edition of Sorry We Love Football, the only show that actively hates the sport that it covers. I'm your host and Eagles fan, Daniel Hartigan. And we're not doing intros today. We're just going free-flowing, no holds barred. You know who's here. It's Danny Solomon. It's Jamel Johnson. It's Kyle Ayers. Guys, congratulations on 3 Super Bowls in 5 years.
Thank you. I was really happy that we won the Super Bowl again. And we did so well.
Of the outcomes, it's nice. I was looking it up.
We did it in such a fun way. It was a classic Super Bowl. Everybody loved it. The halftime show was pretty good. The suspense at the end had even the swiftiest of Swifties who didn't know anything about football enraptured by what was going on. It was just the perfect situation. Jesus was washing feet.
No, that was a priest washing them feet. I didn't see Jesus. Did they have Jesus on cam washing feet?
Well, they were, it was like you were Christ-like.
On cam.
They never had Jesus on cam doing anything.
That's behind a paywall.
Big time.
Yeah, I think that's the latest WikiFeed entry is going to be part of that commercial.
Oh my God. What do you search for?
The thing is, if Jesus washes your feet, the water rushes right off because he can't. His water to foot situation is always pretty off.
Yeah, he can't really.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, he covers your foot in wine. Isn't that how Jesus works?
That's the 49ers when they didn't understand overtime rules.
Yeah, they are covered in wine for sure.
Bro, although, the 40 whiners.
Less whining, I think, post Super Bowl than the Eagles, TBH.
From the players or from the fans?
A melange of both. Because as we remember, the players melange went on alert. in the post-Super Bowl afterglow, the couple of days after, bitching and moaning on their Instagram lives about the holding call. I don't think we've had any players
James Bradbury said that night, "I held him." So he wasn't really bitching.
Yeah, what I remember is most Eagles players being like, I think he actually said, "I thought I could get away with it." Like owning up to it even more than just like, yes, it was holding, but was like this is kind of what you think you can get away with. Clearly, they have to call that penalty exactly once per Super Bowl.
They did in your overtime situation. But let's talk about this year's Super Bowl. I think the Niners players and fans are just more sad. There's less anger. It's more of just a resignation to like, this is probably over. This iteration of this Niners.
What are you supposed to say and think and feel when you just lost to the government? You just lost to the government. What do you have after that? What are you supposed to say? I gave it all I had.
It's like hypothetical militia versus the U.S. military matchup would be. The militia spent all year in their half, which I call the NFC, would be the militia. And they're like, look, amongst all of us, we're the best with our guns. And then they forgot that the AFC has a drone.
Yeah.
They literally have the cannon from fucking Iron Machine from Marvel vs. Capcom. They got everything.
Yeah, it was... It wasn't that the Niners did anything wrong. And I said that via message to Andrew Kungle, our known longtime listener / Niners fan.
Condolences.
I said, I didn't feel like they did not do anything wrong in my eyes. They played a great game. You can't point to Brock Purdy being bad, really. You can't point to the defense being bad. Even without Dre Greenlaw, they played pretty well. I guess there's some of the miscues with the, you know, the fumbled punt and, yep. you know, some of the crap that they got into in the overtime, having to get the field goal, but still, you know, a solid game all around. We just win these games.
It really, Andy Reid seemed, he was better at coaching. The Chiefs had the best coach, who was their defensive coordinator.
Easily. And I think that was a huge thing.
And then they had a better coach when it was the offense versus defense matchup. And the special teams, we have the guy who was Devin Hester's coach. Yep. It's like the coaching matchup was overwhelming. I think somehow Andy Reid is so confident in his team that he's like, I'm going to save plays until it really matters. And he literally means really matters as in under a minute in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Plays they didn't show all year. And he's like, I'll use the ones that work now.
He corndogged them. He corndogged them again.
My God. I know.
Although this one was called Tom and Jerry, but it was a corndog.
It was a corndog. And that play on that fourth and one that Kyle, I think is mentioning, I mean, that's the Eagles' bread and butter. We run that play like every
game. It was Mahomes' first designed run since November 2022.
Well, he has the option on if Kelsey's there in the flat, but right. like they just exposed Bosa.
That's how little it was a designed run. That's how little they design run this guy who scrambles all the time. This was the first time he had an option to run in a year and a half.
When's the last time Nick Bosa even saw a quarterback run an option?
It's no play is an option to Nick Bosa. Before the play, he decides he's going to tackle whoever he thinks is going to have the ball, and he tackles that person that play no matter what happens on that play. And sometimes he's right and he gets a sack, but sometimes he tackles Clyde Edwards-Helaire 17 yards away from the play.
No clue.
And Clyde is just like shrugging like, what do you do? I don't get the ball when they give it to me. I barely get it.
See, this is what Trump guys, this is their fatal flaw. They can be led easily. They are easily fooled. And
I did see they handed Clyde Edwards-Helaire Nancy Pelosi's pedestal. And that's why Nick Bosa was chasing him so hard.
Look, at some point you got to let go and allow the play to happen and allow Joe Biden to be president. You just got to say this is what's happening.
I think everyone can agree they're happy that there was not a call that became the focal point of the game.
Very happy. The refs really kind of stayed out of it all night. I mean, and I will say just to kind of, the Chiefs haven't been called for an offensive holding penalty in 13 quarters of their 3 Super Bowl wins. So that's just a stroke of luck. I'm not saying there's anything.
Maybe they're
going
not
on
holding,
there,
dog. Maybe that's what it is.
They're also definitely holding, but it's fine.
They teach holding now.
The holding penalty that really was almost the final overtime, part of the game was in the overtime, and it was against us. So I don't want to hear
horrible, horrible call. What I always revert to is which team won the play. And then let's just like kind of suss it out from there. Clearly the Chiefs won that play. And then you have this thing that kind of had nothing to do with what actually occurred.
Didn't
in the
Chiefs
trenches.
Have a touchdown called back in the Ravens game because of a hold on a screen?
They did. Yeah.
That's not the Super Bowl.
Oh, Super Bowl. Sorry, I forget we have so many quarters in Super Bowls recently.
We had
were they going to call holding on any of the guys in the Tampa Bay game? Those weren't even technically offensive linemen in that game. That was just some dudes they found. Nick Allegretti was the best player.
Hey, I love that game. I'm a big Worf's head.
I do like that name.
They did call a few holds in that game, but that was not
of course
the Chiefs.
Otherwise, Mahomes would be dead.
Victory. So. But it reminded me a little bit of last year where, you know, as a fan of the team that lost, you're kind of like, you're not even mad at your own team. It's just kind of this weird daze of what the hell just happened. I don't know how we could have played any better. You know, all of those things. If you look at that first half, even the first 3 quarters, really until that muff punt, the Niners kind of like played amazing. They did everything right against Mahomes. They were frustrating that offense, the defense. Even when Greenlaw went out, which I hear is his big excuse, they played 2 quarters where they didn't give up any points, except for a field goal. So they could play without the guy. It's quite all right. And then it just wears on you. and you get tired and Mahomes just starts making plays and it just feels inevitable. Like
it is Danny an inevitability.
Danny was so confident coming in like, oh, we're getting a touchdown here. Even on the MVS, like goes backwards 7 yards on it, which should have been a gain. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening right now? Oh my God. There's so many.
This was the first Super Bowl party where I was the guy who was like shutting everybody up to say, no, we're going to win. This is going to happen. I have never been that guy.
Something
before.
Has certainly changed to where even if you're losing at halftime, I enjoyed Usher.
Yeah.
I was unable to enjoy Rihanna.
And I think I said via text that because maybe I said this at the party or maybe I alluded to this to you guys. But I felt like the first half of the Usher halftime show was pretty bland. I didn't really like what was going on. But I told somebody during the midst of all this, I can't remember in the haze of it all, I said, Usher's a second half team, just like the Kansas City Chiefs. He's going to come back. And sure enough, those roller skates come out, and all of a sudden, it's on. And
that's the rise of the House of Usher. Yeah.
Yeah, how was the halftime show received at the parties you guys were at?
I think it was nuts. People loved it.
Yeah.
Non-stop. There were applause breaks. You couldn't hear the intro. People were fucking excited.
Yeah. It was great.
Here's where people lost it at my party was there was a lot of talk about whether or not he was going to take off his shirt. Mm-hmm. And it looked like he wasn't going to. And then when he did, everybody lost their mind. And from then on, the skates come out and all the other stuff happens. And it was just like,
Who didn't think that was going to happen? That's like those bets you see on promo sites where it's like, will Mahomes throw over 0.5 yards? And you're like, this is a scam. That bet is like the scam bet to get your information into like draftdudes.bet.
Look, I haven't seen Usher in a while. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not in the circles or my algorithm isn't showing me as much Usher as other people.
Right, that's on you.
I'd imagine you're not getting a ton of Usher.
I just wasn't sure if he... I thought maybe he's gained some weight. Maybe he doesn't want to take off a shirt. Maybe if he took off a shirt, there'd be a dad bod under there. There'd
it's
be like
a
Leo and
Jason Kelsey shape.
Yeah, exactly. He's like got some stomach hair. But no, pristine as usual.
I want to present this to you guys because this was the big argument during the halftime show at the party I was at. Someone said inline skates are harder than quad skates.
Agreed.
And you think inline is harder?
There's more surface area on a roller skate.
Given the fact that I've never done it, I gotta say inline's harder.
You never been on an inline, Jamel?
Listen, I it was probably in 95. I thought about it. I watched like one Cam Neely highlight and I was like, let me see what's up. And then I put them on and it was kind of like, I'm good. You know, I kind of knew immediately as soon as I laced them that I would never do that again.
It's like easier to get more speed on the inline sort of thing, but maybe harder to dance.
Yes. They're aerodynamically better for picking up speed because you got the one line and the roller skates have more surface area. So you have more balance.
I thought about putting on my skates and roller skating into this Zencaster, but I didn't think it would play.
The people should know that we are on Zencaster today. Dan is out in New York right now in the chilly snows of Brooklyn for some reason.
I'm here to talk to Roger Goodell. I'm going to NFL headquarters. I want to discuss some rule changes for next season. And how to take down this Chiefs dynasty. It's not good for ratings.
I think they're changing it back to field goal wins in overtime. They've decided to adjust the rules. Yeah. They're going to regress the rules to the mean and whatever beats Mo. I'm very much here for his full, like, after the game, he was, like, going scorched earth with the entire underdog, sort of like, we're never underdogs. Are they going to change the overtime rules again? It's like, you cannot pretend to not know the perception of the team anymore.
And you should.
And I said the ratings are going to go bad. Obviously, they're the biggest game of all time. But I just think there's going to be Chiefs fatigue, which we already have experienced. But in the midst of these dynasties, I kind of feel like people get a little tired of it. But what I want to come back to is the overtime rules. And obviously, we all heard the story about Chris Jones said in training camp, they discussed this scenario as a potential. And all the Chiefs players knew about it. And all the Niners players said, they didn't even know what the rule was. They had never discussed it. So what I wanted to present to you guys was, can you imagine if the Niners had scored a touchdown in that first overtime and thought they won?
Sure.
And like the whole team streams onto the field. Brock Purdy's helmet is thrown into the stands. He's pounding his chest.
Sounds brutal.
And everybody's like, hey, this game is not over. Because it sounds like they really didn't know.
No, and in that case, we score a touchdown and go for two. That yes. is the only logical solution.
And Andy Reid is sitting on a two-point conversion penalty that'll have a touchdown more open than that Peyton Manning bootleg run touchdown clip that comes up sometimes where even he doesn't know what's going on. The two-point conversion call would have been a play that you've – it would have been to Tony or something so absurd. Like Sky yeah. It would have been so wild. And they so would have, good.
They would have brought Tony from off the NFI list or whatever.
yeah.
He's not even on the bench. I don't think they allowed him in the building. And
no, but if the other team pours onto the field, you're allowed to bring one guy onto your active roster who wasn't there at game time.
I think that should be the new overtime rule.
Isn't it embarrassing that your team didn't know? They make a huge deal of this every year.
Well, not a lot of other teams. It's crazy. Are anticipating going to the Super Bowl the way that the Chiefs are. It's a real shock to some people.
This team should have. They were the favorite in every game for a year and a half.
They should have, but for all his wacky, you know, six running backs in the backfield, you know, toss this, toss that kind of play that Kyle Shanahan is good at, he doesn't know basic overtime mechanics. And that is where the coaching edge goes to Andy Reid, who's only thinking about football all the time. Because he's an old man closer to death, and he only has so many years to study charts and analytics and plays and things. And so that's what he cares about.
Andy Reid has like a – yeah, go ahead, Jamal.
For it to end with Mecole Hardman scoring, does that – I mean, obviously you guys don't care. Now the feeling must be Mecole Hardman, I knew it all along.
Chief, great.
What a stud. What a
– all-time
what a chief
great
legend.
Chief.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
I think we're all here for the fact that weird medium from Hard Knocks ended up being correct that Mecole Hardman did win the Super Bowl.
I feel like Danny put it into effect. We went to SoFi to watch Mecole Hardman's best game ever.
Yep.
And
damn,
took mushrooms
right.
and began the sequence.
And
Danny called the touchdown. He called the Super Bowl then.
I said we were going to win the Super Bowl. That's the feeling that I got. And none of our players besides Chris Jones and Mecole Hardman were on the field. It was a lot of fucking Blaine Gabbert and Blake Bell in that game. And we still, I just felt something. You know, I felt like we just caught some kind of a whiff, a mojo. And turned out to be right. It was
when Chris Jones cried during the anthem. When Chris Jones was crying during the anthem, I foolishly thought, oh, maybe the Niners have a chance. But then I slowly began to realize they're with the government. This is the Fed. Like, he's crying because he is a true patriot.
I'm against the pregame crying, too. How does the anthem get you? How does it get you, really?
It's the moment.
It's the moment. It's the patriotism. These are real patriots.
Plus, it looks cool.
It looks cool.
It does look cool.
But then you know you're going to become a meme. They're going to meme your ass. Sirianni is being
flamed. I mean, it's not bad to be a meme that is cares too much. If you win, the meme is okay. We had our best player scream at his coach, and now it's like a fun meme.
Yeah.
Which it didn't bother me when it happened in the game anyways. But if you win, all memes are okay.
He was screaming because he didn't get any balls. He hadn't
had any
touchdowns.
They took him out of the game, and his backup missed the block that caused the fumble down by the end zone.
Aha.
And I believe what happened, based on how Andy Reid explained it, was he didn't know Kelsey was there, and he sort of like was closer than he thought and got knocked off balance. And him and Kelsey yelled at each other all of the time.
Yeah,
that's
and Kelsey,
pretty common.
Kelsey yells most of the things he says anyway. Like he's always like, fire me up, coach. You know,
I think
that's
I saw
like
his girlfriend almost leave him when he was screaming Viva Las Vegas for a full 2 minutes.
Yeah, but
the
longest
rendition of all time.
That was a rough moment, but luckily most of us were pretty hammered or stoned or both by that time. I just spent the entire pre-pod period studying up on all of the footage of Taylor and Travis post-game. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. They love each other.
Dancing to your own shit in the club. Oh, man.
Yeah. I think, well,
if
you
don't love Travis Kelce, if you're not in love with that man, of course you can't just hang out with him casually. This isn't someone you could have a fake relationship with. He's too intense. He's too much of him. There's a lot quieter people you could get into fake relationships with if you wanted to.
Jamel and I spent 10 minutes with him this offseason, and he was very calm and collected and was so not screaming. And
he was wearing a pantsuit.
Yeah.
Well, this was, pre-Taylor. So now that his life is
It was pre-Taylor.
He's just screaming. Look, anybody who thinks it's fake at this point is ridiculous. If you just watch the footage, you've seen that couple at the party where, like, the guy is partying. He wants to hang out with the boys. It's a big event, and he's been waiting for this party for a while. And so he's dancing and he's drinking. And the girl is like drinking and trying to have a good time. But she's like, when are you going to get home and fuck me? Because that's what this is about. Like, I know I'm going to get fucked in a crazy way. And so I'm just waiting out these festivities and all your boy time until I can get back home to the hotel and get railed. You could see the entire look, all of the footage of them too.
That's honestly me. I take the Taylor position. What are we even doing here? One drink, let's bounce, man.
Yeah.
Fuck, you want to keep talking to these fools? I said hi, let's say bye. Come on, man.
Yeah, my you gotta hang out with.
Like, we gotta get. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta put an ice pack on. I gotta put some icy hot on. If we go, we can't be out all. We gotta wrap this up.
I gotta put knee braces on to lay down.
Yeah, it's like.
I don't need to have an awkward conversation with Tommy Townsend, your punter.
Yeah, man. We talk. You like wrestling? Sick. I don't. It's time for me to go.
I think they both just thought they were each other for a brief moment, and that's why they got so excited to see each other. Right. Tommy Townsend's like, this person looks like me.
Same hair length.
I think also Taylor's been drinking all game. Travis has to catch up, and they're trying to meet each other at some kind of exact level.
She might be getting tired, and he's just getting to the party.
Yes.
Well, she's I had to drunkenly introduce your dad to Paul McCartney earlier.
I'm sure the adrenaline of it all probably actually makes it more even than you think.
Well, and I'll tell you who was really in no need of catching up was Jason Kelce. That guy had been drinking since noon the day before, and
he's been drinking since he retired, man. He's been drinking
officially retired. He is not officially retired.
He's been probably not going to
Buffalo.
Retire. Yeah, he
is. This all lines up pretty nicely for Kelce Bowl Part 2 next season. I'm not
if Jason is not retired, are you concerned that he likes a different team more than yours?
No, it's his. It's you ride or die for your brother. I think.
Yeah, I think his family is more important to him.
Yeah.
Although it was fun seeing Kylie Kelce only put on a Cincinnati, fleece or whatever, and not wear any Chiefs gear. Didn't she say if he got traded to another team, she would root for him, but not the team? Incredible.
Yeah. Quickly, I wanted to return to the pregame crying gif of Chris Jones and Nick Sirianni. I think everybody's trying to compete against the No Sean Moreno pregame crying. If we remember how crazy
flood.
That one was.
There's water trying to match coming that. Out of his head. I don't think he was even crying, dude. He had a leak in his head area.
Everyone's trying to get to that point, and it's just unbeatable. Like, you're never going to get there.
Maybe Chris Jones was thinking about his agents crying at how bad of a job they did. Even though he hit every single one of his things except win Defensive Player of the Year. Which hit all of his weird little incentives, and he still is going to make less money than if he had just signed a 3-year contract at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, but now he's a 3-time Super Bowl champion. And if you saw, there was a clip of him and Andy, he was on the ground and Andy was like, come on, what are you going to leave now? He was basically being like, you can't leave. This is your team. You've been here since the beginning. We'll figure something out.
Mahomes keeps talking about he wants to figure more things out to create cap space.
Yeah, and he said we could have you an even worse wide receiver room next year. Let's trade Rasheed and let's trot all these guys out. I want Richie James, one.
Yeah, they could put anybody on the field. Anybody on the field ends in a Super Bowl appearance.
That is the best part, is that we are going to have two of our Super Bowl heroes are going to be kindly escorted out the door the moment
it's legally allowed.
Get the fuck out of here. Thank you
for
your service.
The guy who planted the Chiefs flag on midfield will be cut within 8 seconds of eligibility.
They gave somebody Kadarius's Tony. They gave Tony's number up in the middle of the season.
And actually, and I wasn't even thinking of Tony. I was thinking of friggin' the other Super Bowl winner, Mecole Hardman. All three of those guys are fucking gone.
My question, where was I going to take this? I lost it. It'll come back.
Well, look, there's
take
plenty
Terry McLaurin, man. Just I want to see Terry win a ring.
Is there a chance that happens? Is there any world where this happens?
There's obviously a chance. There's nothing but possibilities.
Send us players who want a championship, and we will take
I've already decided that the Chiefs are winning the next three. But after that, here's where so just like the Patriots, eventually you guys will lose the one that is more guaranteed than ever. Everybody thought it was this year because the team was bad, but that was actually a Patriots trick.
No, there'll be the 16-1 season.
Yeah, exactly. Right. When are you guys going to lose to your Eli Manning? That's what I'm thinking about now.
I don't even think the guy's been drafted yet. Oh yeah, I wouldn't mind it if it was Kirk. You know,
we own Kirk though. I wouldn't mind if it was the Wolfman.
Not possible. Mathematically impossible.
As long as it's not Dak, I feel okay. Honestly,
but I guess
much every NFC team except. But the Cowboys are so overrated; they'll never be the massive underdog team because no matter what, everyone's like they're the second best team. Every NFC team except them.
This opens the door for Jared Goff because the fact that it was close and that they should have been in the Super Bowl makes it so that he could be our Eli Manning, that we haven't seen Mahomes go up against the man who beat him in one of the other great games in NFL history, regular season, 54-51, Jared Goff. Maybe Goff is his kryptonite.
It's possible. Just dumb enough to do it.
I remember what I was going to say. Tyreek Hill, do you think he's like, maybe I should have just accepted like $2 million less to just be a three-time Super Bowl champion?
You can't smack dudes on boats in Kansas City. There's no boats.
Exactly. See, this is the type of thought process that it takes. Exactly.
Look, without the diva energy, we became better. Like, we became a better team, and we got to the draft picks to fix the defense, but you can't have that guy on your team.
You changed the team.
Yeah. It's incredible to me that Mahomes started his career as kind of like this, I will throw it further than anybody on earth.
It was like he just picked up Madden, and now it's like he's good at Madden.
Mm-hmm. We just throw bombs, and I kind of just like make shit up, and my fast receiver is going to be down there, and I just huck it. And now it's like turned into this. He doesn't throw the ball down. I mean, I know there was the long Hardman reception, but that was kind of the only deep shot.
Yeah, that felt weird too, because it was into double coverage. You're like, that's a very bizarre person to trust.
Yeah, but you
he's fumbled every time he's touched the ball.
That pass was, it looked a lot like, and this is a deep cut, maybe only Kyle will remember, but preseason of Mahomes' first actual starter season, throwing that deep ball in Atlanta to Tyreek Hill. It's very similar.
That pass was after a ridiculous scramble, and that's the pass where everyone in Kansas City was like, okay, we might have like a thing going on here.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I was already down before then, but yeah, that was very nice.
I'd like to return to an X factor here that we've kind of teased all season, and Kyle's always mentioned like this is obviously the way to develop a quarterback, but Alex Smith, there's still like a little bit of thread of DNA that season that Mahomes sat down with Alex Smith every day for a year and learned how to do this. Like at Texas Tech, Mahomes was saying like he didn't even know what a Mike linebacker was. And like now he's clearly the smartest quarterback on earth. And it's like something that is just the way to make a quarterback
good. Absolutely blows my mind that this doesn't. I mean, honestly, Purdy didn't have to play right away.
He didn't. No.
He got to come in and look like crap against the Chiefs after some injuries. And everyone who sits, it just feels so universal. Stroud is such an outlier, and he's such a well-developed college quarterback who played at a big university, but not everyone gets to do that. He basically played at a minor league football team.
And by the way,
competition.
Who even came from a situation like that and came in and was
who came
like,
from a medium to small school? Who was 500 in college? And
is Carson Palmer the next best example of a guy coming from a big school and being successful? Also, I just, it took Palmer mad long.
I mean,
it took
Lamar,
a few years.
Lamar Jackson. Yeah. I guess Louisville maybe is a medium school. I don't know,
but he still had to right develop out of the pros right too. That's,
and coming he, out right he play, sat behind Flacco.
For like a day.
No, for most of the season.
Most of a year. I think it's important for guys to figure out how to go to work. Like, it's still their job even when it's not Sunday. So, like, you have to know how to go to a meeting. You have to know how to read film with the smartest people who've ever played the thing you're doing. I think that the Chiefs got especially lucky because Alex Smith's only real strengths were all of Mahomes' weaknesses.
Right.
It was like such a complimentary. It was like progressing reads and what plays warrant what effort and footwork.
You need
Mahomes
to find
like
your Alex
most,
Smith.
Yeah, Mahomes' most talented guy like ever, but raw, you learn from Alex. I was just weirdly thinking about Alex Smith that whole game. He'd played for both teams. I was wondering who he was rooting for. I was watching Mahomes play, and I was like, this is like the ultimate realized version of
Alex. It's like, if you amp up Alex Smith stats, Madden, like arm strength.
And Mahomes' scrambling is like, I can't believe that you don't spy this guy. He's every fucking big game, he's running for 67 yards. Like,
it's just the one play. They took an eye off him one play. They actually were on top of him most of the game.
Yeah, but you can't spy him because he can do so many other things to you.
And losing Greenlaw, you lose your spy when you lose your next best linebacker.
Yeah, I don't know if he could have done anything.
Doesn't stop Hardman being open.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, Mahomes made a mistake near the end of regulation where he thought he could scramble. They lost a lot of time there. Tony Romo is stupidly being like, spike the ball. Like, they lost 15 seconds on that. They got back to the line and he threw it immediately out of bounds. It was like 1 second difference in a spike.
Yeah. Hey, Tony, some teams actually have communication.
Yeah,
like I think Mahomes knew he screwed up and he's like, we have a play for this, and if the play is not there, I throw it away. Let's just run the thing.
The only time I thought we were going to lose was when we didn't go for it again at the end of regulation, because
6 seconds left. Did you want them to run a play?
I absolutely did. And everybody we were on the 9-yard line, something like that. I feel like everybody in the room was like, no, you kick it. You got to tie. It would be crazy to, they don't have the time for that. And I was like, I've played Madden. I've watched football for 35 years. We can run another play. This is not just chuck it. If you don't see it,
I disagree with that.
Confidence in
really?
What was going to happen in OT for sure.
Yeah. OT is
why put it on the play when you're the Chiefs? Why do that when you're Andy Reid and you're like, wait,
I have a whole playbook
nobody's seen.
Yeah.
OT is too unpredictable. Exactly. You're kicking it again to Richie James, which is always an issue.
He hasn't had to do anything. He just watched it go over his head.
What is up with us in punts?
We were texting that all game. We're just like, these fucking punt returns are going to be the death of us.
Dude, it's the worst.
It became the death of the Niners, which is
The Chiefs, I don't even think the Chiefs really ran a play the play before the 6 seconds left. It was because if they would have really paid attention, Rashee was wide open.
Yeah, he was wide open. It
was the play was only throw it to Kelsey or no one. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was like, I'm not giving a tipped ball. I'm not doing this. It was the play that beat the Bills in the 13 seconds overtime.
And that would have been poetically beautiful.
I think they were okay to go to overtime because I think they knew either they would score a touchdown with the ball first or score a touchdown and go for two with the ball second.
That it really does change watching the Chiefs when we have a good defense. I think even though we should draft another
it's
receiver,
it's called watching
and
the Patriots. You're watching the New England Patriots,
right?
We talked about that 13-3 Rams game, and we're like, when did the Chiefs get their version of that? This was not quite that, but close. It like resembled it for sure.
I mean, it was definitely something that I could have seen coming, at least as far as the Niners not scoring 28 points or whatever some people were predicting. Like, when you get out of the realm of, if you're over 20 points against the Chiefs, like, you're doing something that most other teams in the NFL, including
I think
really
the Eagles are the only team to score over 28 points in the past 2 years against the Chiefs, and they scored 30 in that Super Bowl, or 31.
35.
Yeah. Jordan Love diced us up for 24 points, and that seemed like it was a massacre compared to our normal standard. So, yeah, this was bound to happen this way.
On a side note, getting some reports from Blake Anderson in Vegas. He talked his way into the Jacksonville Jaguars suite. And, you know, basically it was just hurt. They lost. But also, I think it might have been a good thing in the long run. He basically was saying that Vegas ducked the most toxic Bay Area night of all time. It could have gotten really disgusting out there. And he says, honestly, I just know there was a Raiders sleeper cell waiting for the green light. So, see, like, if the Niners had one, who knows, man? They might have lit Paris Hotel on fire. So this might have actually worked out better for the nation.
That's true.
I think you're right, Jamel. And it's because, you know, I previewed that last week and I was like, there's some bad feeling I have about Vegas hosting the Super Bowl. But with the Chiefs winning it, those Chiefs fans know how to celebrate a Super Bowl victory at this point. You're not
afford to go to the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just don't go.
And by the way, we can just talk about things ancillary to the game as well. The celeb roster at this game was up there with some of the greats. That's the benefit of Vegas. Everybody knows a weekend in Vegas is a good time, even Beyonce. So people were there that you haven't even seen at other Super Bowls.
And Usher had a little bit of extra spice to it too.
I didn't like
Mr. Med Vegas of it all.
I didn't like how many commercials he was in. I thought, you know, you've got him for the main
hilarious show. Chiefs fan complaint.
Yeah. Well, it's just it was a little more.
I thought he was a little. There was a little overexposure for this particular person.
I had a problem with the entire tenor of Super Bowl ads this year. It was even worse than it's been in the last 10 years when this whole trend has started. It's like, let's pick five random celebrities and find a way to shoehorn them all into a commercial together.
I barely cared until they showed me a fucking swastika. What the fuck? I wasn't even paying attention.
It's
I'm
a weird
to
thing
people.
To side
it's
eye on your TV.
Yeah, then I look up and it's like, yo, what?
You just have to really hope it's not your friend's Apple TV screensaver.
Then a priest is washing a guy's feet.
I think that we need to get back to commercials being the least attractive character actors being the most famous people in commercials. I think Steven Root should be the most famous person allowed in ads. And then the rest of them should be the people from the Groundlings who've invested $9,000 in improv classes.
Yeah.
These are who the commercials need to be the biggest thing to happen to that person that year. And then they are paying their rent. And that's what it should be. Famous people have recently caught on to the trend that podcasts and commercials, you can do those and get money. And I hate it. Those were for us. Those were ours.
I don't need
your lays. Go work hard. You're allowed to.
I used to see at least three friends in a Super Bowl in all of the ads. Three people I know personally. There was one person and it was kind of a fluke.
So, we want to know Danny Jollis in a single Super Bowl ad. Feels like what is something stupid is happening. This man should have been in three Super Bowl ads falling
There's
down like he did in Babylon.
Some cats at my party knew a guy in a Starry ad. I didn't know him, but there was a guy in a Starry
ad. We're talking about real companies. We're talking about companies with real commercials, not Starry, which I have in my fridge right now.
Don't talk down to Starry. You love Starry.
I have it. SodaStream Starry syrup.
You love
there's
it.
There's a six pack of Diet Starry here in the Airbnb refrigerator.
Starry, winning hearts and minds. Let's
go. The moon. If you miss, at least you'll have Diet Starry.
Look, I was rocking Wild Cherry Pepsi during the entire Super Bowl because that's what Travis Kelce said was his favorite soda, and I always agreed. I always felt like it was the better soda out of all the cherry sodas. So I got it half for Kelce, half for me. And it worked.
You like it better than Cherry Coke?
Yes. Wild Cherry.
It's the wild aspect of it.
It's wild. You've got that little hint of insanity.
It does taste like they put one more cough drop in it than just regular Cherry Coke.
Every sip, you'd be like, man, I might have a threesome in a pool tonight.
It's possible. It's always possible because these Super Bowl parties, like you're right, Jamel, it's such a vibe if you're doing it right that, like why are they paying so much to put Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger in a State Farm ad for no reason? I barely cared. I was too busy having a great time.
Yeah.
I'm talking to people in real life. We're talking about how fun the game is. We're waiting to see if Usher's going to wear Heelys or roller skates. I did bet on Heelys. That was a miss by me.
Big miss. I mean, we had nine people, maybe 10. I think nine. And we went through five full joints.
Nice.
I can't remember most of the companies that advertise. I'm sure that I remember the E-Trade baby. That's about all I can remember, really. And everything else is just a blur.
You're talking about Pete Holmes? But see, he was even the E-Trade baby. That was before he was super, you know what I mean? That was like,
exactly.
That's as famous as you should be allowed to be in a commercial, is it's not you.
Yeah.
And you have to be like, actually, I know who that is.
He was grandfathered in from the time when he wasn't famous.
Speaking of joints, Jamel, you have some Ricky Williams weed that you want to share with the group?
Oh, yeah, sure. This is for whenever you get back from Brooklyn, whenever you get done working with DJ Premier and Large Professor. I got some of that Ricky Williams Super Bowl weed for us, guys.
Yeah.
He put out a special three-pack of joints for the game. And I'll be honest, I only smoked one during the game, and everybody was like, whoa, what is this? And I was like, it's the Super Bowl, baby.
You have to give up like 16 joints to get one of his. You have to give up like two full draft packs of joints just to get one of his.
The price is, honestly, it is priced like Ricky Williams, the player, was priced. I will say that.
Yeah.
It gets definitely you, be for the look for the show.
It gets you so high, you lose your job.
But you do spark an entire documentary series that's still around today.
Yeah, no, you land on your feet eventually.
For sure. In New Zealand, in a tent.
Can't land on your feet in a hammock.
I want to talk about the losing side of things and just kind of cover the Niners a little bit. We did a lot of Chiefs talk. I don't know. What was your guys' sense of the Niners like when it comes to Super Bowl opponents? You beat them twice now. What was your favorite Super Bowl victory, I guess? Is this the best one because of how long the game lasted?
It's because
was
of
the
how
first one
it
always...
Was.
This was a great game.
This was the best of the games. The comeback against the Niners 4 years ago, the first is a great feeling. And having not done it for 50 years, I thought it may never happen. I was too nervous. I was too nervous the whole time. So I was just shitting my pants. And then when Damian Williams finally broke that run, I could breathe again. And it almost didn't like sink in. And then the Eagles one was great, but it ended weirdly. So it could have been an all-timer, but then... The ending, I knew I was going to hear some crap from Dan and others. So this one was the perfect mix. I wasn't too nervous because I wasn't worried about losing the Super Bowl necessarily. It doesn't hurt the legacy of the team. So I had a great time and I felt optimistic throughout. It was still up and down and all these tight moments. And everybody else was like, I don't know if you guys are going to do it. And I was like, I know. And then it happened. And it was just everything came together. And
I
was
less nervous down in overtime in this game than I was ahead 10 with 2 minutes left in the first one, first Mahomes one. And then the Eagles one I thought was a really good game. And it did like sometimes when games are like incredible for 99% of them and then the last 1% simultaneously is weird and takes 6 minutes. Is really not fun. It's like watching a college basketball game where you're like, this is incredible. And then it turns into like, almost all stoppages for a few minutes and it left everyone feeling like, all right, okay. It just sort of was like, okay.
It's just, it goes to show like endings matter so much. Cause I'd say the entirety of the Eagles game, probably more entertaining. Yeah. You have the Mahomes injury at halftime where you're like, what the hell is going to happen? Yeah. Is this guy fine? And then it just ended weird. This one ended so amazingly that like, you'll just remember it that way forever.
You get thought, yeah, but like everyone remembers one thing about Dexter. And it's not the like four great seasons of television. I haven't seen it, but it's like I know the ending of the show because people were so upset about it.
And
even
it was
if
only
the rest of it was really great.
Three out of the first four Dexter episodes, seasons. The third one was not good.
Well, we're not Dexter. We don't have to dissect this.
Well, I'll say something about the 49ers now.
Yes, please.
It really sucks that it came down to McCaffrey, the fumble in the first quarter. I think they needed more from him anyway. I know he scored on a double pass. It also
that
the Niners winning would have led to Juwan Jennings being the MVP.
And that is true.
Probably would have been pretty cool.
That would have been sick just to have a guy out of nowhere, a third wide receiver, be the MVP.
McCaffrey is, I think this game showed the difference between Pacheco and McCaffrey, where McCaffrey is the best running back in the league. And Chiefs, I love Pacheco, but he has very clear limitations. McCaffrey gets 4 yards. If he's not stopped for -1, it's 5. He never gets 2. It's very, and so they had a lot of 2nd and 5, 2nd and 4, and they was what the Chiefs struggled to get the whole time. And I was just like, man, this is a frustrating team to play against because it's so, it like playing a crazier version of how the Ravens gave up on trying to play, but they're like gashing through you. The Bills did the same, like gashing you for running, and you're just like, McCaffrey is so good. I don't really watch him play because I don't watch the 49ers a lot, but I'm just like, I don't remember a guy since like Peterson who just finds what that is, that whole, like, and he doesn't make the wrong move ever.
And this was just an okay game from him too, and he was still
probably was like 85
best.
Yards and a touchdown total.
I mean, it was good. He had 80 receiving. Yeah, he had 80 and 80, I think. And he's great.
Jesus, really?
And that was a kind of okay McCaffrey game.
And I'm watching it, and they needed more from him. They needed him to be the MVP.
But I will say this to Niners fans who want to feel optimism. You have a better quarterback than you had 4 years ago. It is definitive that Brock Purdy is better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
He had a good playoff run, and I hated the guy all year and thought he would be the reason they lost, and he just wasn't. He wasn't great, but he was good.
I don't know if he made any throws that I don't think a lot of guys could make, but he didn't.
Had he made the last one, we would all be like, okay, this guy is actually like an all-timer.
Dude was open too, but Chris Jones got there.
He was in his face. Fully open. Only Mahomes can make that throw. Who even can make that
maybe
throw?
Maybe Rodgers a few
in
years
his face
ago.
Like that. You know what I'm saying? There's only a couple guys.
It's tough. You can't hold Brock Purdy to that standard. If Brock Purdy can run this offense the way he has been and not make mistakes and grow a little bit, this is year two of Brock Purdy, he might be able to get you back to a Super Bowl. That said, though, and Dan knows this, that hangover is real and it's disgusting. And I don't
expect
the Niners again.
I think Greenlaw tearing his ACL is the biggest problem for next season.
Walking out onto the field. How come we haven't talked about that yet?
Horrible.
He was just rolling out onto the field.
Yeah. He wasn't over. It wasn't a Martin Gramatica. He wasn't doing anything. He was just running into the game.
That ACL was ready to go. It was like Achilles. It was hanging on by
Achilles.
A thread.
Achilles.
Worse.
Yeah.
All right. Worse than ACL.
I know. Especially if he's vaxxed, that's going to take him like a year to come back from.
Exactly.
With his protein changes.
He's going to have all the shakes.
But... To what you guys are saying about, we talked about this a little earlier in the show, was the coaching differences. I thought, like you're saying, Kyle, McCaffrey was getting 4 or 5 yards falling forward, felt a little bit unstoppable. They come out in the second half and they go 3 and out, I think 3 straight drives. And it's, I think they called 8 of 9 plays were passes.
I could not understand.
It made no sense.
The thing was they had just had the Chiefs 3 and out on their receiving of the big advantage was the Chiefs getting the ball after halftime, and we just doinked that right away immediately. Was that the interception? That might have been the interception.
It was
Mahomes has made some dumb, like some Brett Favre dumb throws. But this one, the second it left his hand, you saw Kelce just like know it was going to be a pick as it floated over his head. Like if this isn't going out of bounds, it's a pick. Before we move on too much from the 49ers, though, does George Kittle get a pass forever for not showing up in the playoffs?
What did he do? What did he not do?
He had 1 yard in the first half and he led tight ends.
Yeah, and George Kittle didn't do much, but I don't know what you expect with this offense. They're trying to get everybody involved.
He's the best tight end in the league this year.
Yeah. Who shut
all pro.
George
He's
Kittle
first team
down?
All pro.
I mean, were
you?
Someone...
You have 8 other wide receivers. He should be having a huge game.
He should, but
he should be your third option. I don't know what he's doing. Is blocking this important?
Is there something that we did that shut him down? Because I didn't notice it. I didn't notice anything special.
I didn't either. Tranquil is okay at covering tight ends, but no one can cover. I don't know. That's what people If Kelce misses a first half, he was trending worldwide. But if Kittle, who's all pro first team, does less, everyone's like, well, he has thin hair.
The thing about running the ball is it doesn't matter where, like, fuck, man. Why didn't they just run the ball more?
I don't know.
You're about to go into serious analysis.
Fourth team to ask themselves that.
It doesn't matter. It's a kind of play where it doesn't matter if the defense knows it's going to happen. If you scheme it right, you'll gain 3 or 4 yards.
Because it's boring, dude. It's boring. You got fucking Adele or Lady Gaga is there, and maybe probably.
I do think
Adele.
Everyone overthinks it. I think they're like, you know, they're going to expect us to run, so let's. Mm-hmm. But that's make Brock Purdy make quick decision making with Trent McDuffie slamming him in the face. Yeah. Or can you imagine Chris Jones running at you and you remembering you were the last pick in the draft?
That's the Mahomes.
Magnola.
Yeah. Yeah.
They contained Purdy. He had no runs.
Oh,
him to scramble.
I did too. In the two playoff wins they had, that was kind of the difference, was his legs, and he just didn't run all game.
It's because we were blitzing him, and he's not elusive. He runs those plays when there's nothing going on, and he's got a wide open lane. But when people are in his face.
I hate giving credit to Steve Spagnuolo for just calling Engage 8. He called Engage 8, and it worked. And now I have to say he's a genius. Man, fuck.
Those
third down calls in the critical, you need this stop.
The McDuffie blitz Jones, on third and four was like the game saving
thing of beauty. That blitz was fucking beautiful. It took a long time pre-snap too. He didn't even zero tell that he was coming. He didn't, you know, they're shifting guys, they're running around. You didn't know he was coming, and it was the perfectly timed
blitz. It's what happens when you draft
blitz,
for your coach. It's what happens when you build your team for the guy who's coaching the team instead of just building the team for who you think is great. McDuffie and Snead are like invented for this system.
Yeah, and we really recognized early on that Spagnuolo was a good choice, and so when we did the Tyreek Hill trade, we were like, we're giving the next two drafts to Steve Spagnuolo.
I wanted to ask this because I thought about this. Is there just something to, and this is a thing that happened with Jordan and Kobe, where guys just are like, they forget what they're doing because they see who's over there? Like Brady, where it's like their whole team, whether it's Kyle Shanahan or their whole team as an entire whole, or like Bosa plays his worst games against the Chiefs even when he plays good because he's trying insanely hard and missing. And so do you think guys, they're just like looking over there like, even this isn't even the team that'll put up 50, but you're just like, well, time to act a fool because I have
basically,
to.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it too.
He gets people trying too hard. Lamar tried too hard. Josh Allen tried too hard.
That's why I think Josh Allen is like the person who I worry about the most still with him, is Josh Allen tries too hard, but is just so physically insane that his trying too hard, he might be Vegeta.
Yeah, he is our Vegeta. But we've turned the entire group into a bunch of Goku subordinates. It's every great quarterback in this league is now Joe Burrow's Krillin. And, you know,
yeah, that's true.
And we got Lamar's Piccolo. Like, we are just
A-Rod is Frieza.
Yeah.
A-Rodgers is still Frieza easily.
Absolutely.
We got to admit eventually that Mahomes is Boo. We can't say that we're going. No, everyone likes Goku,
but that's
and everyone
the truth.
Loves Goku.
Thank you, Kyle, for being honest.
I mean, who was the guy who could actually take everyone down by absorbing what they did and adapting?
That's Cell. Cell.
Plus, everyone likes
Lambo. Both of them were full of absorptions.
Yeah, but Cell got killed by a kid.
Gohan's secretly the most powerful of them all, but could only release it when people were killing his mother or something.
And that is Caleb Williams.
Right. You got to hide him.
Nah. I don't think so, though.
I don't know what kind of internet hate Chi-Chi gets, so I'm not sure if the Goku recommendation is similar, but...
I assume people hate Chi-Chi, honestly.
Yeah, she's kind of nagging bitch.
Chi-Chi feels like she gets, like, the Skylar White sort of treatment, where you're like, let him go kill!
Yeah. He's saving the world.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit futures, just of these two teams and kind of their trajectory for next season. So... You know, what do you for the Niners, I think it's really hard to know like what the fix is. Like, you don't change your quarterback. I don't really think you change your coaches. Maybe the D coordinator you upgrade.
You gotta hope Brandon Ayuk isn't as upset as his family seems to be. Aren't they posting on Instagram like time to get out of here?
Yeah. They want out. Yeah.
Come to the Chiefs.
So they're the Niners implosion seems imminent. I do think they were kind of on a free life this season where they hit on the Brock Purdy thing, didn't get burned for using all that draft capital to get Trey Lance. And so
slid through a kind of close playoff games too.
They're stuck, dude. They're just this team,
man.
Only it's that much harder because you're like, fuck.
Do you think the Trey Lance thing lost them the Super Bowl? Do you think they would have had enough? A piece from that would have been enough.
Maybe
to get them over the line.
You hope that that's a wash with getting a good quarterback. Anyways, with a lack of a pick, you know.
So any little thing could have changed trajectory.
Yeah, I think that two teams could play again, and the Chiefs could lose by 14.
But, you know,
yeah.
The next year, I think it's just the mental hurdle is going to be tough. So who's left?
It's so hard, dude. The Kyle Shanahan now has this even darker cloud over him of just – and, you know, he's so – you watch the body language of the two coaches. Andy was so relaxed, even getting screamed at by Travis Kelce. Like,
he loves
he's
it.
Just so
I mean, the
cool
guy has
and
nothing
collected.
But football. He lost his whole family years ago, bro. It's like,
That's right. But Kyle Shanahan is so – deeply disturbed.
I would worry more about Shanahan than anyone on the Niners. Everyone on the Niners is like fairly stoic and fairly like in control. Maybe not Bosa all the time, but even he is. He's not. I don't see any of them being temperamental or with huge swings and mental, like the mental grasp of the game. They're all sort of like pretty quiet, fairly put together, composed, except their coach. I mean, it feels a little bit like the Eagles team where I'm like, I feel like the coach's mental lapse is the thing to worry the most about.
Yeah, I think,
you know, Kyle Shanahan, he is, he's his dad's son, the opposite of the Andy Reid situation. He's chasing his dad, trying to, he's probably
maybe
just
he's Gohan.
His dad's fake teeth in his dreams.
That's just because, you know, he was the Broncos coach. You got to start to look like the logo as you get older.
Well, let's not forget that his dad lost a bunch of Super Bowls and then 10 years later won a couple. So there's always hope for
so did Andy, yeah. Andy Reid lost one and lost all those championship games.
I was going to say that, Kyle. There's kind of like the if you need something to grasp onto to be optimistic as a Niners fan, it's that Shanahan could have the Reid trajectory and
and win some with the Chiefs after Andy Reid retires.
Exactly. Somewhere else. It's kind of the way this works is you have to go somewhere else. Bill Belichick was a coach somewhere else and then became the Patriots coach. So usually you have to leave to become this guy.
Oh, you said upgrade a D coordinator. What about Belly to the Niners? What do you think about that?
He's not going
to
be a defense coordinator.
Can you imagine him listening to Kyle Shanahan about anything? No. He would call him boy.
Okay, so quickly, Chiefs, you know, looking forward, obviously, it seems like they can win with
nice
this
to get out
of
our
team.
Rebuilding era.
Yeah,
and
yeah, we are rebuilding
insane.
Right now.
Two Super Bowl victories during the rebuilding.
They're going to cut everyone who scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl, which is probably a stat that's never happened before.
And the defense is going to lose a couple of guys, but we might actually keep it more intact than I thought before we won the Super Bowl. So we will.
They seem
able to
hungry
draft.
For a three-peat, too. It's never happened.
It's
they're
never
already
happened.
Talking about it.
And
they're
and
already talking about
we
it.
We just need to draft a receiver and pick up a receiver in free agency. And we might be, and I hate to jinx it, but we might be an undefeated team if we put the offense and the defense together. That's the goal.
No, they mess around during the regular season.
I,
we know
that
at this
right.
point.
They experiment.
They have to kind of feel something. They need to lose. That Raiders game, Andy Reid kind of credited it with why it sparked the run, that Christmas Day Raiders game. He texted Antonio Pierce and thanked him for kind of lighting a fire under the team and resetting their course.
I love that.
Do you know how pissed I'd be if I beat the Chiefs and I got a text from the coach like, hey, thanks, man. You just won us the title, you bum-ass man. You think this even matters?
Anyways, we're going to do this in your stadium.
In your stadium.
Do you think this game matters?
Andy Reid, you think Andy Reid's paid attention to football on Christmas? The man is so excited for ham.
Thanks, man. Thank you for ending that game in regulation so I could go get a piece of this ham. And I never gave a fuck. And good luck to you.
Good luck to Max Crosby on the media circuit.
Oh my God.
Inventing a rivalry that doesn't exist.
I wouldn't even respond. If I was Antonio Pierce, I would pretend I didn't read it.
I actually think there's no there is no intrigue left in the AFC, for me at least, because we've beaten all the best quarterbacks. The only wild cards out there that I could be intrigued by in a next year's playoffs, CJ Stroud, if they really load up the Texans defense, and a real Aaron Rodgers comeback. Those are the only two things that could happen that could complete the set. But in the NFC, it's far more interesting. NFC, I actually think we might have a Rams-Lions kind of championship to decide who goes to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, if the Rams can like recreate what looks like the greatest offense, like their draft was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Stafford's a year older. I liked their team this year, but I think they kind of missed that one.
Maybe they'll trade for it off.
I like the NFC North becoming like the AFC North, where it's the Packers and the Lions just batting the title back and forth. And
right.
One of them is playing for
neither of them will get the one seed because they'll both lose three division
the shit
games
out of each other. Yeah.
Also, you're going to have Caleb Williams in there pretty soon. You're going to be able to.
Yeah, you are. And the Chiefs, by DVOA, had the hardest playoff run of all time this season. They beat like the top five teams.
I mean, you've got to say the Dolphins were the Dolphins were the four seed in the AFC if you're just going by how the season went, right? You're like,
it was a diminished Dolphins team,
but the Dolphins also kind of showed up to be like mental frauds.
Shout out to me for never believing in those idiots. I believed in the Dolphins for a second this year.
I'm not going to fully give in to the retcon. I think that it's insane to beat the Bills and the Ravens and the 49ers. Those were the three best teams in the league at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But I think that it is the retconning of the Dolphins being as good at the end of the year as they were at the beginning of the year has been a favorable Chiefs take.
They still were the number one total offense. So let's not say they were just a bunch of dogs.
They weren't like, I mean, it wasn't like the Browns miss or something like that, who I picked to win a game. But I don't think anyone felt uncomfortable playing
Polynesian Dan Fouts. That's what that was. Who cares?
So just for posterity, I want a way too early Super Bowl prediction for next season. It's just will they make it back? And who do you think the opponent will be? We don't need any like score predictions or anything.
Well, he's made it 67% of the time to the Super Bowl, so I got to just go odds with him making it again.
Oh, I think they'll be there. Yeah. Just who will.
Most of this year, I thought, hopefully next year.
Right.
I think the Packers are going to. I think it's going to be the
Ascend.
Packers. I think it's going to be the Packers just purely for the sadness of the rest of the teams in that division. Like it feels like the Lions might be the Chargers of that situation.
Yeah, Packers fix their defense. They're pretty scary. Danny, who you got?
Oh, you got me? You know what I'm doing.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
So it's Chiefs and who for you?
I'm going to say Chiefs-Lions right now. It's a lot of wish casting, but I do like the team. I do like them, and I feel like Dan Campbell could learn a lesson from this playoffs. Let's hope.
Hey, let's hope, because he gave away the NFC Championship.
Yeah, there's just a lot of ass in the NFC, and if it's not the Niners, you've got a huge void there, and I buy the Lions' progression more than the Packers, although I agree it could be one of those two.
As the only guy who has to pick against the Chiefs on this show, I'm trying to think of a reason why it would happen. The only thing that would stop the Chiefs is injury. But truthfully, I don't think Mahomes is ever going to get injured. He doesn't run sneaks. He learned how to suspend himself like Spider-Man. Whenever he gets tackled the wrong way, he could just start b-boying and roll out of it. I don't even know if he's going to get hurt.
He gets hit like the mom from The Incredibles. And I don't mean from her videos that you see fan made on
the
internet.
With the fat
ass. I mean, but like
he
is so flexible. It's like nothing breaks.
So who you got in the NFC, Jamel?
Eagles. Eagles back.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, that's what I'm going to say as well. I don't know why that would happen, but I do think this season was kind of a weird hey, fluky maybe thing that happened at the end.
It's time to revamp some stuff. I don't know.
They are moving on with two new coordinators, and they still have some good pieces. But
nothing better. You know, nothing says Super Bowl more than revamping both coordinator positions. After a disastrous defense.
Well, we lost the two after the Super Bowl and made two horrendous decisions of who the replacements were.
Belichick's not
look, the end of the Eagles season was historically bad, perhaps bad enough for them to have a renewed sense of focus.
Could be.
Sports logic is not real logic. Any logical person would be like, the Eagles are done, put them in the fucking casket, but that's not how the athlete's mind thinks. They're like, oh, now it's time for us to win again.
They all think that. It's weird. I follow them obviously closely on social media, and they all kind of still see themselves as the true contender, which I guess you need that, but it might be foolhardy.
Isn't Reddick trying to get traded out of?
That is the one guy that he hasn't said that himself. It's just been some reports.
Okay.
So we don't know exactly what will happen
reports
with that.
Reports are always true.
Let's wrap this up. Final thoughts on the season. And, you know, I hate to say it, but fucking bravo again. God, Danny, you have three Super Bowls in the 5 years we've been doing this show. It's unbelievable. Kyle, you just kind of added to the cherry on top to this Chiefs Sunday that we have to fucking eat every episode, basically.
I'll go quick. Here's my thing. Consume all of the stuff. This is not how things are supposed to go. This isn't how it will ever go ever again. I watch so many YouTube videos. I'm listening to everything. Watch it all. Consume it all. Buy bootleg t-shirts. You got to enjoy it, because I imagine if you're like a Patriots fan, you're not like tuning in every week to maintenance of things anymore.
It's a great point.
Just you know, I did it when the Royals did. Went on their run and a half, and I'm just like, I'm going to watch every video and get no work done for a couple weeks.
For me, I will say football is fun. Yes. Also, the Chiefs are, I mean, look, guys, just buckle in. This is the next 5 to 10 years of our lives, and that's cool. It's wild that we decided to start this show right when the Chiefs became the team of the decade, team of the millennium. That's just what comedy's all about. Also, if you like what you're hearing, if you want us to podcast in the off season, we're definitely taking a break because football is maddening. We are taking a break. But if you want to hear more of the show, please interact with us online about it, because we won't record if people don't want to hear it.
Yeah, we got to.
But if you want, listen, if you want to hear us record in the off season, you're going to have to put up some money, but we will smoke Ricky Williams weed for you. Also, they got flag football coming to the Olympics. There are other football opportunities in the off season. If you want them, please holler at us.
And I want to tell you, before this gets out of my head real quick, I think you guys could do a great Patreon thing that is all you do is test athletes' products. It doesn't have to be Ricky Williams weed.
Yeah.
It can be Mahomes cereal. Like, test the stuff.
I have tested
Mahomes
cereal.
Like, it could be like a shilling killing. Who's like shilling the best stuff?
Fantastic.
We will do that. Do you want to join our Patreon?
So yeah.
Do you want to help us make this show? Please do that. Say that it's a good idea to
say
us.
It. Email us. Text Dan. Most of you are Dan's friends. Get into it with us. Let us know. Otherwise, we're not doing it.
We're not doing it.
I can sit at home. I don't mind having my Tuesdays off.
I would rather watch NCIS for free than get your $3 to $5 to produce the show. But if you give me the money, I'll do it.
All right, so my final thought is, first, I'll do a Chiefs thing. I don't take it for granted as well. I love it. This run has been amazing. This was the best Super Bowl ever. I really, truly felt joy in the moment for the first time in maybe 20 years. So people noted, people at the party noted that I was feeling, that I was expressing joy in a very healthy way. And so that's thanks to the Chiefs. That's thanks to the show, honestly. And also, if I have one gripe, I don't like the championship hat this year. So I might have to, I need a new hat. I'm going to have to figure out some new hat ideas. So if you want to hit us up on that level, let me know what kind of a hat might look good. I got a red and a yellow, and I've got that white championship hat from last season. Let me know what I'm missing, style heads out there. And then
a black one.
All right. All right. Well, just all black though. I don't know. Yeah. And then macro wise, just thanks for sticking with us for five seasons. I don't know how much we're growing. I refuse to look at the analytics. Doesn't matter
Won't
anymore. What I know is that we're at least holding the ship tight with the people we do have. That means you guys love the show, and there are enough of you that care that keeps us chugging along. So I may have threatened several times this season to end the show forever, but I think we're back. And not only that, we might have to expand again.
I was going to go with that too as my final thought of the thanks, and then also make a proclamation of Sorry We Love Football will return for a sixth season. I don't know if we'll be back and how much we'll be back in the offseason.
Up to you.
We're definitely coming back.
That's
for,
up to
for
you,
season six.
Listeners.
Yes.
It's up to the listeners.
Do you want to hear this again?
Again, fucking enjoy it, guys. It's crazy that this
lucky
is actually
bastards.
You and, fucking bastards.
And sorry to all the non-Chiefs fans listening out there. Sorry that you hate us because you ain't us, but that's just what it is right now. I hope your team can make it to the Super Bowl to have the honor of being beaten by Patrick Mahomes again next year.
You guys ever think if you started this show 10 years ago, you might have had a Bud Dwyer situation with Danny after like the Colts playoff game?
Man,
well, it would have been a much different Patreon episode.
Man,
yeah, you got to put that behind a paywall, right?
Obviously, I'm gonna say sorry to Alex Smith just for what people
Smith.
Did to you. I apologize, man.
Sorry, dude. He's the one that connects us all. He's Niners, Chiefs, Commanders. Sorry, Alex.
Sorry.